I've been offered, you know, publishing for songs I didn't write and trying to take opportunities from other artists. It's like, I don't want to do none of that. And I always make it clear. Make sure you let them know. I don't believe in that practice. So it's not just a no. It's a no, and please don't continue that. You know what I'm saying? I prefer that you didn't involve me in anything that does that to other people, because I feel like there's so many hands in your pocket as an artist, as a songwriter. It's just so hard to even just be stable, you know? And it's not right. It's not okay.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Money Long. I appreciate her honesty. And more importantly, I appreciate how naked she is on today's podcast. Sit back, relax, prepare yourselves for a dose, a healthy dose of honesty.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
is the greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion they carry champions to be a champion. A champion they carry champion, hey girl, you did it. Got a champion they carry champion, they carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us.
Money Long has been a force in the music industry for many years, writing hits for artists like Rihanna, Mariah Carey, Madonna, Ariana Grande. She's also known as a buzzworthy artist herself. She has hits like Hours and Hours, Time Machine, and those have earned her 3 Grammy nominations and a win for Hours and Hours. It's really hard for an artist to get nominated for a Grammy, let alone win a Grammy. But she explains that it's not easy. People have called her difficult to work with, but she considers herself an advocate for artists. That title can be misconstrued by some, but most importantly, it's not for her. She believes in the work that she is doing, and she believes in her music. Welcome to Naked, everyone. It's Money Long. Money Long, thank you so much for coming on Naked. My podcast is exactly what it means. It's like I just ask people to be as transparent as they can possibly be. I do understand sometimes it's hard to do that, but I appreciate you for just taking the time and congratulations.
Thank you.
You released the album?
Single. It was supposed to be a whole like 4-pack, but we couldn't get it ready in time. So we just settled on one song. It's called Made For Me. And people are really liking it so far.
Well, let's go back to the beginning, because you have a very interesting story, probably not unlike others, but as a woman in this industry, being a creative, sometimes we find ourselves being taken advantage of and not always necessarily getting our just due. From my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, you grew up in a musical household. You were someone that literally was able to take your talent, upload it on social, and it became a movement. That's how you grew your base. Tell me more about that.
Definitely grew up in a musical household. My biological father played trumpet. He was also a singer. My mom sang. There was always music in the house. We had a piano in every house that we ever lived in. And music was just kind of like, I thought that it was like that in everybody's house. You know, because it was such a big part of just our everyday. And I think that's why it was so like normal for me to pick it up as a pastime, a favorite pastime. And as soon as I got introduced to, you know, the freedom of the internet and YouTube and, you know, uploading my own videos and myself singing, and you know, I had a period before YouTube, which was MySpace, where I was uploading like, you know, I had like the long, skinny Logitech microphone and I was recording songs on that and they sounded terrible. But some people liked them, you know, and transitioning to YouTube where it's like you get to see my face and I'm literally making up these songs in my bedroom just for fun, not thinking anything of it. And I mean, who would have known, you know, 15 years later that being an influencer and going viral and social media would be what it is today. To where I even, you know, everything came full circle and I had a really organic, huge moment with my song Hours and Hours last year. So very, very cool. I just gave you like 15 years in 60 seconds.
Well, that's beautiful because I love that. And that just gives everybody the introduction of where I was going next. In the 15 years, first of all, you look 12 years old. In the 15 years, because everyone starts so young, so you probably still are 12 years old. But in the 15 years that you've been in this industry, you quickly became someone who has been you're an advocate. You are an advocate for songwriters. You're an advocate for those who sometimes are marginalized. Do you like that term, being called an advocate? Is that an appropriate term for you and what you do?
I mean, I guess, you know, if you would, out of all the words that you could use to describe me, that's a good one. But I think I'm just trying to be the best human that I can possibly be. And I always try to treat people how I want to be treated. nobody wants to live in a house that's falling apart. You know, like I think with music and the way streaming has changed revenue, like still the same money. It's just not going to the people where it should be going to. And like the house is burning and people are complaining about music being this, ticket sales, but you know, part of the problem is we're trading convenience for quality. And so not necessarily like fighting for anything, because I feel like anything that you fight for resists you. I'm more so just like showing people there is a way to do it, that you can have massive success and treat people right and do the right thing. You know, especially even, I'm just trying to be like a benchmark, right? For, an example for people to be like, what's it called? Set a new precedent. That's what I'm trying to do. Because I've been offered, you know, publishing for songs I didn't write and, you know, trying to take opportunities from other artists. And like, I don't want to do none of that. And I always make it clear. Make sure you let them know. I don't believe in that practice. So it's not just a no. It's a no, and please don't continue that. You know what I'm saying? I prefer that you didn't involve me in anything that does that to other people, because I feel like there's so many hands in your pocket as an artist, as a songwriter. It's just so hard to even just be stable, you know? And it's not right. It's not okay.
It's interesting. You said something, no, and please don't do this. It's not just no, it's no and that to me is important in any aspect of your life. But you said you don't try to fight anything, because that means you're resisting, I believe, and I'm paraphrasing. I love that thought process. When you started writing for the likes of a Rihanna or Ariana Grande, I mean, you have really amazing credits. You realize something quickly in terms of being a songwriter. I believe you said you had to be, and I'm not referring to them in general, but because of who you are and you can sing and you can present in front as well as right behind the scenes, people wanted you to be a little more demure. And they also were trying to take money out of your pocket. Give me an example. Talk about that experience for me.
I think, you know, it just comes with the territory, right? There's certain things that you just know. Okay, this is the way it is, the stat quo, right? And so I learned, one of the things I did learn very early is that the energy that you bring with you in the room is going to sort of season the music. So if you've ever been in a recording studio, or if you've ever seen, like, you know, when they have like on the news sometimes, the phone calls or the 911 calls, and you see the little frequency line going up and down, right? That's what it looks like in the studio. And it's a bit different, but same concept, where we sing on the mic, it writes, you know, a frequency into the program. Well, that frequency is happening all the time, whether you see it or not. And just like, you know, I always give the example of when you tell someone, oh, I love you so much, you feel that. It feels a certain way. Or when you say, oh my gosh, bitch, you know, like, you feel that, and it makes you angry, or however you want to feel about it. And so it matters, the energy that you bring into the room. If I ever had a moment where I did not want to do something, or didn't want to work with an artist, or felt like I was, you know, going to be in a horrible situation, you can't predict those things, right? Because it's like you go in the studio and you make something incredible and here comes the vultures. But for the most part, when you go in, you enter into the space with the highest intention. I would always sit in my car and say like a little prayer affirmation before I got out. Thank you for an amazing song, number one song. I thank you, you know, for channeling through me today. And you just open yourself up to possibility. And that helped me from, you know, getting too in my head, because I'm a channeler when I write. It's not like really, you know, I'm a genius, I'm coming up with this stuff myself. I'm literally just like opening my mouth, and I'm surprised a lot of times at what comes out. And I don't take all the credit. I'm just the conduit. And so you can't have any negative, skewed energy frequency when you're operating that way. And it's the wild, wild west out here, man. The business is what it is. It's been like this for years. And the only thing you can do is just operate at the highest level that you possibly can. It's not specific to any artist, any manager. Just sometimes situations arise and they're not really the most favorable.
I hear you talk and I think to myself, is there an industry in the world outside of music, outside of anything that we're doing, is there an industry in the world where you don't see someone trying to get over or not operate in a way that's high vibration, high frequency, or where you have to decide, if I stay here, I have to really create boundaries, and boundaries are tough. They're hard. They're hard professionally and they're hard personally. And then the cost of creating boundaries and living by those boundaries could also reflect negatively on how people want to work with you or how they feel.
Yeah, they label you difficult. Until you get enough points on the board to establish yourself as someone who is viable and who consistently can create things that hold value, they're going to look at you and be like, who do you think you are? You usually be happy you're not cleaning my toilets. Like, you know, it's definitely that. And especially being a Black woman, you can feel the energy in the room where people are just like, who told you to be so confident? Who told you to be sure of yourself?
How dare you?
Exactly. Like, you know, go get my coffee. And you just have to, understand it's the human condition. It's not personal to you. It's not, you know, people like to say paying your dues. I feel like that's a little bit deceptive. Every person in the world, no matter who it is, no matter what it's for, it could be a nonprofit, it could be, you know, supposed to be saving the children, it could be whatever. Right. At the core of you, if you're not doing the work and you're not on this planet with the understanding and purpose to express your highest version of yourself, there's going to be, you know, on a scale of big to small, like there's little boo-boos and uh-ohs that you shouldn't be doing. And then there's big, huge things that affects, you know, millions of people. And that's just the way humans are until they learn there is a better way to do things.
It is the human condition, which is why it's in every industry and across the board. But there's an extra layer of what I like to call texture when you are a Black woman. If you think about from the moment you started in this business to where you are now, how would you describe it? Would you describe it? And if we, let's use references that people could explain. Let's say when you first started, you were enjoying your appetizer. And have you gotten to the point where you're like, I got this entree and I got this dessert. And when I walk in the room, I'm just making up like an example of having a little to a lot. How do you describe your journey of being an artist from 15 years ago to today?
I would say my journey of being an artist from then to now is I just feel fulfilled and like whole. But I've always, you know, been a bit head in the clouds, Delulu, where when I didn't have 2 pennies, I still would save those up and, you know, have the best experiences I could have. I was telling a friend the other day, is like, I didn't have the money to do this, but in the beginning of my career, I flew to Paris just to get some Christian Louboutin custom shoes because I really wanted them. And by the end of the trip, it was only 2 days left. I ran out of money. I had to figure it out, you know, and I never let my circumstance stop me from having a good time. I don't know. You just have to make the best, right? And I've always done that before I had any sort of widespread recognition. So I feel, you know, with time and through my journey and all the experiences that I've had, the people that I've worked with, the ups and downs, I just learned how to be comfortable and vulnerable being myself in front of people. And that's the hardest part, right? Because that's what authenticity is. It's just like, I own my mistakes. I own everything that I say. Sometimes I might have like hair and makeup or an outfit that is so great. I own it. Like, I don't feel ashamed or embarrassed by any of my choices. I'm not afraid to fail or look goofy or make a mistake. And that is an amazing place to be, especially when you're doing it on the world stage.
Yeah, and that's the opposite of where most people live. I have the same Louboutin story. I saved up all my little pennies, went to Paris, And I bought them shoes and didn't have no more money to eat food. I remember like it was yesterday. I was like, it's okay. It's fine. As long as I got
but
my
is he putting in his shoes? They're not even comfortable.
Yeah, they're not even comfortable. Gave me corns. But I remember I just had that. But I was going to live. You weren't going to tell me I couldn't live. I'm going to walk around Paris and enjoy the architecture with my
shoes. Exactly. Now I'm going to eat off this one croissant.
Yeah, for the whole time you're there.
Hey,
everybody. You know what time it is. We have to pay these bills so that the podcast can continue. You can fast forward through the commercials or you can just listen. You may hear me. You may hear somebody you know. You may learn something. I appreciate you. We'll be right back in just a few moments.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest, greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest, greatest in sports and entertainment. Get naked with me.
Thank you all for your patience. Welcome back to Naked, and here's more with Money Long. Your first two LPs, you were a writer for all these major artists, but then you do your own work, these two LPs. What's the difference between writing for someone else and writing for yourself and creating the work that you love?
The difference between writing for myself and writing for someone else technically isn't, there's no difference because it always comes from, as I said, channel, right? Writing for myself, though, I know who I am. I know what I will and won't say, things that I don't want to project onto myself or anyone else. Writing love songs is so easy for me because that's just who I am. I believe in romance. I believe in fairy tales. I read a lot of like romance novels and things like that. And so that's second nature to me. I just want to make people feel good. Like I know exactly what it is I'm looking for sound wise. And it's a lot easier to make music for myself because I don't have to go through all these filters, right? So like when I'm in a service position when I was, I don't write for others anymore, at least not right now, and I don't plan to in the near future. I just want to take some time to explore myself. But when I was in the service position, it was like you had to kind of dig a little bit, do extra work, find out like where are you at in your life, you know, what do you want to talk about? Where do you see this music being played? Are you in the club with it? Are you trying to make stadium music? Are you trying to make something that you can sing acoustically? Or do you really want to showcase like your voice or the lyrics? You have to figure out what the artist wants to do. And I think that's probably the best thing is that I don't have to go through that anymore. I can just, you know, wake up and be like, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I want to make.
Yeah, this is what I'm writing. For me, I would think that would be a tremendous amount of pressure. That would make my stomach hurt, especially if I, and by the way, which is why you do what you do, especially if you're writing for an artist that's already proven and has a style. Maybe that's even easier, perhaps, if they already have a style and the way they want to go about it. But tell me about a difficult time in the studio or what's arguably the most difficult time for you as a creator, not necessarily dealing with anyone else, but for you. When you are in studio and you were singing and you wrote it and it doesn't come out the way you want it to, or it's not quite hitting exactly as you want it to. I'm assuming you've had those moments because artists are so very material and protective and precise. So I would think that you would want it to be perfect or the vibe to be real and what you want. And then you want that to come out the way that you
absolutely
feel.
Absolutely. I've only had a couple moments that weren't very becoming. It was like, maybe when the producer, like, I don't need a lot of coaching and hand holding when I'm working. I just kind of need you to, like, you know, play me what you got. Let's get a little chord progression going and then leave and come back in 45 minutes, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I write really fast. And I think the only time when it was, like, difficult or it felt like it was kind of, like, start and stop was when I was in the room with somebody who was just constantly like picking apart the idea before it sort of presented itself as it wanted to be. Because I really think that, I think like the songs tell us what they want to be. If you really pay attention, they sort of like form themselves. And so when you have somebody that's like, yo, can you change that lyric or I don't like that melody, like, bam, let me do me, please.
Do it and then come back with your critique.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm about to do. So
right.
You know,
off things when you're dealing with someone like a producer, do you say, wait, give me a minute, let me just figure this out first? Do you say
I'll try that. But then if I feel too much resistance, whether it comes from the artist or the producer or even another co-writer, mm-hmm. I'll just like, you know what? I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna go get some yogurt, you know. Maybe we take a walk. It's kind of cold in here. We'll go thaw out. And I let them have it. Like, maybe there's something that y'all really need to get out. When you need me, I'll be here. And there have been sessions where I just completely sit there and do nothing. And I don't ask for anything either. Like, you know, that's the thing, too, where people, just because they're in the room, they want a percentage. I don't believe in that. I don't do that.
Wait, say that again. Because they're in the room, they want a what?
They want a percentage of the song.
Oh, yeah.
Like they want, they're like, well, I was in the room. I helped inspiration. Like, no.
Wait.
No, so, we don't do that. And it's because I'm a channeler, right? That I know that that's not true. There's no way because I'm getting these downloads directly.
Wait a second. So if I am a Carrie Champion is a, you know, the reason I am asking you these ABC questions is because I just don't get it. Like, I'm not in your world. I don't understand it. So
I don't get it either.
Yeah. So wait, you telling me I can quote unquote say I'm a writer. I'm sitting in the room. I don't do anything. And
why?
I can percentage because if you decide to go a totally different direction, I'm like, no, I was a part of the inspiration. I was the vibe. I want to get paid. People get paid that way.
I've had that happen to me several times. Literally where, you know, your publisher or your manager would set up a session, you come and we're supposed to write a song together, but I'm so fast, right? A lot of times I will have to intentionally, purposefully include, like, what do you think about this? Because it's almost like, you know, like when you're watching tennis and it's just going back, 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 but you're not playing with somebody who is as fast as you, so you got to slow down. You know, and that's really annoying sometimes.
Yeah, so she just said it. Ray was too slow.
Exactly. Seriously, like it's exactly like that. Like, listen, you need me ready when I'm ready. Like, this is at the highest level. I can't slow down for you. And so I've had moments where I'm going so fast and it's coming that literally the co-writer is sitting there like, how is she doing this? And you know, how many times have I heard that? Did you write that right now? I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, and then they submit the splits afterwards, and it'll be like 25%. It's like, of what?
Wait, ding. You can negotiate that, correct?
I mean, in the beginning, now I can. Now I'll just, because I'm willing to walk away. I'm just like, oh, you know what? Forget, throw the whole song away. I don't care. But in the beginning, I had to be strategic, right? Because if it was like a Mariah Carey or a Madonna, right? I want that placement. I want that credit because it expands my brand, right? And expands my network. And so sometimes I've taken it on the chin just so that I could get that credit. Because a lot of those artists, like legacy artists, they don't play that. Like if you don't get splits together, they won't use the song. Because they don't want anybody coming back later and trying to claim anything and you know, hold up money. So I've had to, you know, be flexible in the past in order to gain a certain amount of status as a writer with the credits that I earned. But now I don't do that. And people be asking for publishing managers and artists, like, just to sing the song. No judgment to people who do that. Who allow that to happen, but that's not a boundary that I can allow to be, you know, moved. In my case, I can't do it.
I'm even more curious because I get what you're saying. Yes, Mariah. Yeah, Madonna. I'm not pushing back on that. I get the end goal. It's a part of the end goal to get you where, this is a part of the journey to get you where you want to be. When you, wow. So when you have to sit in a situation that is uncomfortable at this point in your career, you can walk away. There are exceptions to the rule. Right now, you can walk away.
I just don't. Like, I mean, even before, I have exercised the muscle of my intuition and my inner voice, right? To where when an opportunity is presented to me, immediately, I check in with my gut. And if I, you know, like you might see me go. And immediately, if I feel any sort of dread or hesitation, I'll be like, I'm not sure about that one. Let me think about it. Or I'll be like, let's wait for like a week or two. And usually those things end up being like, dodge the bullet. Because there's things that you don't know, right? And who knows? God knows, you know, you are a part of him. And like, just like your pinky is a part of your body, you're a part of the overall, and you have access to the plans and the thoughts of your collaborators, right? And so I believe that we're all connected. And if you just took a tiny second to just tap in and be like, should I do that? Is that a good idea? Is that for my highest good? You know, does that take me in the direction that I ultimately want to go? And you'll get a nudge. You'll get like a, I'll do that. Or you'll get like a little flutter. At least that's what I get. I get like a little like, you know, when I have the, ooh, that sounds fun. Most of the time, those experiences are the best ones. So I've learned to really trust that. It's almost like the best way to start out, and I give this example, like, have you ever been running late or getting out the door and something tells you, grab a jacket, grab a jacket, and you don't do it, and then you be cold, you know? So just start there. Start with that small, simple thing, you know? Sometimes I'm walking through my house, I'm getting ready to leave, and I'll look at something, and I'll have the, you know, urge to just pick it up and take it with me, like a notebook or a pen or something. And I'll end up needing it later on in the day, or I might need it the next day or something like that. So I've really taken the time to just listen to that small, still voice and become super familiar with it.
Is there a songwriter artist that you liken yourself to or that you admire, that the way in which they've been able to create their own and build in this industry, that is, someone will say, that's the North Star. I like, for me, it's Oprah. Like, Auntie Opes is my G. I'm like, we can do no
wrong. I love that, Auntie Opes.
Auntie Opes can do no wrong. So someone's talking about her, I'm like, I don't care, slander. I don't want to hear it. I love her. Is there someone who is your Auntie Opes, if you will?
I have a few. I was just watching some of those leaked clips of the Kanye unreleased footage, and I'm just like, sometimes it scares me because I hear him talking, and a lot of the things that he says, I can relate to. And I feel such a connection with him and just how larger than life he is and how much impact he has had, his passion for music. Even when Genius came out, a few of my peers called me and were like, yo, watching that documentary, all I could think about was you. You know, you remind me so much of him. He's one of my favorite creators in the world. Like, whether it's fashion, furniture, it all matters.
Yes. By the way.
Yeah. So I would say Kanye.
Don't you didn't have to
as far as like,
because he's dope.
Well, I mean, you know, like he does say things sometimes that are very free thinking and against what the general population may believe or maybe, you know, ready to hear. And so, you know, that part is kind of just like, hopefully he's okay. But artistically, absolutely. Fashion, you know, just his vision. Absolutely. Kanye.
He's okay. So I say that all the time. I love Kanye has narrated some very significant portions of my life. Like I'm able to separate the artist from the person sometimes, from the art, from the artist. Like some things, yeah, I don't fool with you with there. But as an artist, no one could deny how talented, and you're talking about that documentary. What I mean, he's a genius. Like he really is.
I think that's part, like, you know, sometimes we don't agree, you know, and it's not just limited to Kanye, right? Sometimes I was just saying this, I'm not going to say who, but sometimes you fall in love with an artist and you start hearing them talk and you're just like, yeah, I wish he didn't talk. Like, you know, we don't have the same views politically, or, you know, there may be like certain misogynistic, patriarchal things that you believe in that are just like, why would you say that? You know, but again, you know, everybody's here for their own journey and everybody has freedom of expression. I really try to just objectively observe, and that keeps you a lot stress free, you know, just kind of be like, oh, that's how you feel about that. Okay, cool. You know, and just have no opinion and just like observe. Right. But yeah, artistically, man, is definitely Kanye. I love Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, Aaliyah. These are people who just inspired me to want to do music. And, you know, I remember being glued to the television, watching their videos and their live shows. So, yeah, those people for me.
Oh, that's a great list. That's a great list. I mean, with that list, let me ask you, minus Aaliyah, because we didn't really get to know her. She was gone, I think, way too soon and way too young. So we didn't get to know her as, I think, a woman, like a full grown woman in a lot of ways. But when you think of that list, and how we watch those artists grow up in front of us, literally all of them. What do they have in common with you?
I would say just like the musical choices, fearlessness, willingness to be themselves. You know, I think that's what draws me to a Michael or a Kanye and a Janet as far as like pushing boundaries. A lot of times, you know, because you may or may not yet be established, you know, as I referenced before, people will look at you and be like, who do you think you are? You know, who are you to have that sort of confidence and be so sure that you're going to do these things, right? And it isn't until after you do them that people's perspective of you changes. And in the moment, you may be unsure, but then for me, I watch a documentary or I see a little 60-second clip on TikTok or on Instagram, and it is very much in alignment with how I think and, you know, has the same values and principles as that I live by. And so it's just like constantly, you know, I might drift a little bit over here, like, oh, I don't know, maybe this isn't good. And then I see something and it was, nope, get back on track, you're good, you know. And so I think I like to do something called frequency matching, which is like there are people who are where I want to be or who I've gone where I want to go. And I just go and watch them and, you know, align myself with that frequency. So what I'll do is just like, what would that feel like? Man, that must be an amazing feeling. You know, or like when I go to a concert, I don't just sit there and watch. I'm just like, wow, this is amazing. I love this for me. This is for me. Like, you know, and try to elevate my thinking, my acceptance, my ability to receive moments like that. And so I think I'm purposely aligning myself with these people. Like, maybe 5 years ago, I didn't have anything in common with them, but now I do because I intentionally watch them and see what they're doing and how they're speaking and who they're working with, what it takes to be this gigantic icon.
Hey, y'all, it's that time again. We got to take a quick break. This one's really quick, but you can still fast forward through it. We'll be right back in just a few moments with Money Long.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
I never thought I'd take my 3 young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all should do me a favor. I also post YouTube clips at Carrie Champion. So go check out the YouTube clip because Money Long's hair is bomb. Anyway, I digress. She's back with more gems. Hope y'all enjoy. I had 2, correct me if I'm wrong, solo EPs before this latest single. Is that accurate?
It is.
I wonder if you could walk me through what you put out before and what this latest single is now. Is there a difference in the messaging? Is there a difference in your voice? Is there a difference in the frequency? Your word that you use, I want to make sure that I'm being accurate with it.
Yes. So I was independent for 2 years before I partnered with Def Jam. And I actually put out 3 EPs, one which I still own fully. And that was sort of like me finding my voice, figuring out how I wanted to present myself. What does Money Long look like? What does she feel like? You know, like the word you use, texture. And what is the texture? What's my aesthetic? Just figuring out like how I wanted to present myself. And it was literally in the middle of the pandemic. Everyone I wanted to work with was available. It was slightly more expensive because we had to have COVID, you know, protocol. And so that first EP, I was discovering how I want to sing. You know, do I want to have a soft voice? Do I want to build? Do I want to be sexy? Do I want to sound like a rapper? So I did a bit of all of that on the first EP. And then the second one was a little bit more, you know, I branched out a little bit more with the sound choices and the topics that I talked about. I was a little bit more slick-tongued with the stories and some of the things that I was discussing. And then the third one, I was, you know, I'm a lover. I love love. I think I said that already. And so I think the common thread through all of them is they're about like relationships and even loving yourself, things like that. And so this third one was really about love. And then I actually made 3 different versions of it. So it was the first one, which was like 7 songs. And I did a second one, which was like 8. And then I added 5 more and put all together. So it turned out to be 18 songs. And I didn't know which one was going to do anything. I mean, we had our guesses. I just shot videos for everything. And lo and behold, hours and hours just exploded. And then, you know, hopefully we can continue. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a huge, and Exploded is like an undersell of it. That's huge to be nominated and to win. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, to be a Black woman in the fourth quarter, independent, you know, over the age that people would generally say should be mainstream, right? I'm 35 and I know people don't necessarily think you're viable after a certain age, which is so silly, right? But I did literally had every check, every box that normally people would say, hell no, absolutely not. It's not going to work. And not only did I have like this gigantic splash, I got nominated for 3 Grammys as an independent artist. That's crazy. And one of them was Best New Artist, which is like such a coveted, you know, category. So to be known as like, you know, you're one of the best expressions this year out of all the music that comes out. I mean, I think they said there's like 30,000 new songs a day. Something crazy like that.
Give me chills. Give me chills. Like my arms. I'm like, good for you. That's just, you put it in context and sell that. Don't undersell it. That's bold. Let me leave with that. 30,000 artists a day somewhere, and then you chose
something like that or a week. Still, it's a lot.
It's a lot. It's like to be able to narrow it down, you know what I mean? It's like watching TV. There's so much content out there. How do you find what you want to watch?
How do you find the good stuff, Brandon? I pay attention to the people, like what they're saying, the feedback. That instant bio feedback is priceless. When you put something out and it's not good, they're gonna let you know. And I think, you know, being a songwriter for so long, it doesn't hurt my feelings because the only bad idea is the one you don't say out loud, you don't share. And so I take direction very well. If somebody is like, don't do that again, you know, I may or may not do it again. I just really believe that it's an interactive experience, right? Because I'm not making the music just for myself. I want you to consume it. So after I channel it and record it and make it all pretty and take my pictures and shoot my videos, the rest is up to y'all.
I love it. So talk to me as I, in closing, because I went a roundabout way to get a good feel of who you are, and I feel it. So I appreciate you for being so candid and so honest. It's hard for people to do that in general. This latest single, what do you want the people to feel? What do you want them to take away from it? What was your headspace when writing?
I think I would love for people to hear my music and be inspired to just love, not be too cool. You like somebody, call them. You know, you're not being thirsty, you're not simping. If you miss someone, tell them, right? I think we need love right now in this time, in this generation. There's so much crazy foolishness happening and people arguing and like, take me out of the group chat, please. I do not want to see, you know, your screenshots of you talking crazy to your significant other. It really hurts my heart. Like, I don't like to see people get hurt, like these fighting videos. I just don't like it, you know? And so my offering is of love, and that's what this song is about. And it could apply in any situation, even though a lot of people are saying like, oh my God, this is gonna be the next big wedding song, which I received that. Yes, I hope that happens. Thank you very much. But it could be about the love between you and your mother, the love between you and, you know, your pet, your children, you know, your best friend, your sister. It's just about feeling like you have a genuine connection with someone. Like, where have you been all my life? And I'm sure everyone has had that at least one time in their life with a friend, a brother, a colleague. I just want to spread love, man. That's my ultimate goal.
Dang, man, I want to spread love. Okay. I like it. I receive it. Money Long, you have been a pleasure. And I appreciate you for taking the time and being here and being so patient. And
thank you for having me.
Really, I mean, you're really honest and true. Like, some people are knowers.
I mean, you said naked, so.
Yeah, but you are a knower. There's doers and knowers, and you have both. So that's great. That's the way I term it. Thank you again. Good luck with everything. I am sure that I will talk to you down the road in a different capacity on all your success and continued success. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So much. So much. So much. The reason why we decided here on Team Naked, if you will, to re-air this Money Long interview from October of last year, a few reasons. Her album was just coming out. She knew that she had some hits, but she also talked about, as you heard in this particular interview, that people thought she was a diva. They thought she didn't want to compromise enough, or she was a problem. And she was very adamant about doing things her way because she's an artist who knows her art. And I understand that, and I'm sure you all can understand that when you really believe in something and you have conviction, you won't compromise. But I say all this to say is that what is meant for you is meant for you. Your success will come. I'm sure, as she mentioned, she did not feel as appreciated or as celebrated. But here she is some months later after we first talked to her and made for me literally top 10 on the Billboard charts, R&B digital sales number one. I mean, she really has done the thing with this single, performing on late night shows. She has promoted her single and herself in a way that I think is respectable. She didn't compromise. She did what she wanted to do. And shout out to the Team Naked, our bookers, if you will, because they were ahead of the game and got us that interview. I was really, really impressed with her, even more so now because we're watching her success as she predicted and as she knew she deserved to be celebrated. It's a lesson for all of us. There's no deadline, no timeline on being successful. When it's time for you to have your moment, you will have your moment. I think of the Grammys and Killer Mike, a sweep. Killer Mike has been in this game for so long. He won 3 straight Grammys. And I was so impressed because he said, "You're never too old." And I hope you're inspired. Money Long is young. She's 30 years old, 30 plus years old, 35 to be exact. But she has been told by many, maybe it's not her time. No, not right now. But yet and still, she persevered. And here we are celebrating her in a huge way. If you haven't heard Made For Me, get from out under that rock you've been in, because she is to be celebrated. Thank you all again for listening to this revisit of Naked. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.